The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today. Running her mouth, she wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They making plans, we sit and count. Our chair is stacking just like a mountain. You heard about it, she running her mouth. She wants to ride Jordan it. Love. I'm cool as ever. We have talked a lot about Jordan Love. Guys, I was looking at some stats last night. You know where you just kind of like are scrolling through and checking out storylines and whatnot. And if you go to the old ESPN.com or the NFL.com or whatever it may be, Jordan Love is not very high in any of the quarterback categories. The only one, guys, is touchdowns. He was surpassed by Baker Mayfield, who I think now has thrown 18 touchdowns. But if you go to completion percentage, if you go to average yards, if you go to QBR, if you go to rating, which is sort of the, you know, amalgamation of all of those types of things, Chewy, he's middle of the pack right now. Does that surprise you? And that's in five games, by the way, because you know he missed those two. Does it surprise you that Jordan Love is sort of middle of the pack, 14th, 15th, down there? I believe in one category he is below Aaron Rodgers. I'll have to figure out which one that one was.
If I had to guess completion percentage, but yes, I don't know. I don't know that off the top. That would just be the guess.
I think that is correct. I could go back and look, but scrolling. Yep, that's the one. Aaron Rodgers, 28th with 61.7 completion percentage. Jordan Love, 29th with 61.5 completion percentage. Are you surprised that Jordan Love's numbers are so middle of the pack right now?
No, I'm not. Because the preseason, I don't think he got enough work. Went into the first game. I know it was in Brazil. Played okay, not great. Gets hurt, takes 2 weeks off because of the MCL, so he kind of had to reset the training camp and getting ready again, so it took him a little bit of time. He'll get better. He just needs more reps. He hasn't had enough reps to start off the season so far, but I would expect those numbers to improve.
Enough to be the top of the league, though, Gabe?
I mean, that could be tough. I mean, the touchdowns obviously kind of helping the overall quarterback rating and probably QBR as well. His biggest issue, again, not that the head coach wants me to compare him any further to old number four, slow starts. Like, Brett was always notoriously a slow starter. And eventually he would start to settle into the game. And that kind of seems what's been happening with Jordan Love. I mean, how many times did we see early in the season where, like, the completion percentage is well below 50%, and then he gets hot, right? Then, you know, early second quarter, middle of the second quarter, he starts to figure it out and he plays well. I think it's for him trying to figure out how to come out the gates a little bit better. And usually those interceptions, those turnovers have happened, you know, traditionally earlier in games at this point before he starts settling in. It's just kind of a slow start thing for me before he starts putting up those numbers that we're more accustomed to seeing from him in the last eight games of last year.
Did you guys do the 22?
Not yet.
Okay, so you're going to.
Yes.
Because I am still curious about the mechanics that you guys talked about earlier this week, if in fact Jordan is getting a little lazy in his mechanics, and that is causing some of those balls to sail.
All 22, we'll probably do it tomorrow.
It's kind of the opposite of what we expect from Sam Darnold, who's been off to an unbelievable start, and we're all sitting here waiting going, okay, this has to end sometime. He has to come back down to earth. It's kind of the opposite effect where, like I said, I expect him to get better. His decision making has been okay. His accuracy has been probably not up to par so far. But I'm not worried. I'm not worried at all. This is a game right here where you should get your confidence back. But it's on LaFleur. LaFleur's got to... Because Jacksonville's just not going to sit there and lay down. You know? This isn't week 16 when you're 3 and whatever. I mean, Doug's fighting for his life. He knows that. The owner down there has been pretty vocal about, you know, he wants to win now, and Doug knows that. So they're not going to lay down. This isn't going to be a walk in the park. I see this as another game of hang around. Jacksonville hangs around, and then Green Bay probably a lot like Tennessee, where that game really wasn't put away to the point where you feel comfortable. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, it didn't really feel close, but also Tennessee was there, and it's like, if they make one big play here, this thing gets interesting.
But that Jordan Love wasn't under center in that game. I know that that to me feels like apples to oranges. How in the world? I just don't see a way that the Jaguars could hang with the Packers.
Oh, like, that's easy for me.
What is it?
Tank Bigsby. He's having a really good year. They're running back for Jacksonville. He's averaging over 6 yards per carry. They grind it out. Jordan turns the ball over a couple of times, and Jacksonville hangs around because they're able to run the football.
Okay, so you're to the point where you think that Jordan's aggressiveness could lead to him turning the ball over and giving subpar teams, below average teams, an opportunity to win. That to me is, if you're there, if you're in that position right now, that's huge alarm bells.
Happens all the time across the league, you know, where a guy just doesn't, you know.
There's an alarm bell.
Yeah, there's no alarm bell. It's just he has turned the ball over at least once in every single game. And
I mean, this isn't.
And they were able to win, Chew, with the -3 turnover ratio. That's if he has two interceptions this week again, that keeps Jacksonville in the game. Like, because Houston shouldn't have been in that game. But as well as the Packers' defense played, the Texans should not have been in that game, but the 9 points they had off of the turnovers from Jordan, like that's what kept Houston in that game.
You know what's crazy, Chew? If you look at Jordan Love's college stats, he threw 6 interceptions in 2017, he threw 6 interceptions in 2018, and then in 2019, 17.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this isn't Aaron Rodgers. He's a different player. He's going to take more. I mean, Aaron, and we talked about it yesterday, didn't take chances because he didn't want to turn the ball over. And that's why he took a bunch of sacks. And, you know, years ago, we would complain about him holding on to the ball too long. I don't think Jordan's going to do that. He's just got to be smarter with the football, smarter with his trajectories, throwing the ball down the middle of the field. And this isn't Nathaniel Hackett coaching the Jacksonville Jaguars when he was at Denver. Doug won a Super Bowl. This guy knows how to coach. Now, things haven't gone right for him this year, but this guy knows how to put together a game plan. He's not going to sit there and go, I can't believe they ran fire zone. I thought they ran it next week. They'll never do it again. They're going to be prepared.
Yeah, but sometimes you just don't have the horses. You know, even to Gabe's point about having one guy who can get the job done, it feels like this could be a good test for the Packers. If that is their guy, then this would be a great week to focus on stopping the run. Or at least, you know, halfly dial something up, put guys in good positions, and focus on stopping the run. Unless you think they have other weapons that are going to, you know, move the chains.
No, I mean, it's just, does Trevor Lawrence play well enough? And he's the answer for Trevor is he hasn't. I mean, they've got some decent weapons on the outside. They've got a good tight end. Trevor Lawrence hasn't played well enough for any of that really to matter at this point for Jacksonville. So, you know, again, that's where if Jordan plays clean and doesn't turn the ball over, the Packers win this game easily. They'll win it handily. But if he turns the ball over again, that's how Jacksonville stays in the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you look up definition of a trap game, this is big game.
All right, is it a trap
game? Big game.
Is this a trap game or not? Because you keep telling me it's a trap game.
No, I'm saying it's not
going to
happen. But if you look at the definition of a trap game, this is a trap game on the road.
Start
you
looking
know,
ahead a little bit.
Sometimes the fans can pull you out of it, you know, when you're at home. And I would say, you know, a lot of teams, most of the trap games you lose on the road. Because you're not comfortable, you know, it's going to be warm. So this has the makings. I don't think it's going to be a blowout. I really don't. I think it's just going to be like every crappy other team they played this year. Yeah, they're winning, but put the thing away. Hang around. Teddy KGB hanging around. That's what's going to happen.
800-990-3776. Lots of folks weighing in on the trap game accusations, allegations. People also saying, Alan Kohler says, people need to keep in mind that those 5 games that Jordan played, he played 3 of the best defenses in the league. Philadelphia, Minnesota, and Houston. Meanwhile, Ryan from Iguanago saying Jordan Love is a turnover machine right now. They need to run the ball more this week. Again, we told you earlier in the show about those statistics about where the Jaguars rank right now defensively. Again, 32nd in defensive pass EPA per dropback, 32nd in blitz rate, 25th in sack percentage, 29th in takeaways, 30th in scoring defense. It does feel like a game where the Packers could really take advantage and could really run up the score. And I guess right now, that's where my gut is. I'm leaning towards this being an absolute blowout, the Packers scoring over 30 points yet again, and the Jaguars just being on the field, not really able to make much noise. But it sounds like Chewy thinks it will be a lot closer than that. Gabe, where do you land?
I don't know if it's going to be a blowout, because like Chewy said, Doug's coaching for his job. If it's a blowout, that's probably it. I mean, that could be it. Yeah. That could be all. If the Packers go in there and absolutely demolish Jacksonville, that could be it for Jacksonville. But if Jacksonville wins this game, which again, I'm not going to predict, I mean, that's the type of win that kind of springboards your season and can kind of turn some things around if you're Jacksonville. So this seems like a very pivotal game, and I don't think that they're going to leave anything. Like to me, this is, hey, we're leaving no stone unturned. You might see some trick plays out of Jacksonville. You might see some aggressiveness out of Jacksonville going for it on fourth down when maybe you don't, you know, necessarily see that. And that's what, you know, again, they end up with an extra possession because they go for it on fourth and two and pick it up. Or if they turn Jordan, to me, this all comes down to one thing and one thing only. Does Jordan Love turn the ball over? If he doesn't, Jen, yeah, it's probably going to be blowout city.
I'll take it one step further, though. I think it does come down to the pressure that Jeff Hafley can dial up, because the offensive line for the Jaguars did not allow a sack Sunday for the second time in three games. They are giving Trevor Lawrence time to make plays downfield.
To make now, bad decisions.
Yeah, sometimes,
He's getting all the time in the world to make bad decisions.
But the bottom line is, you still want to try to make him uncomfortable, right? The game plan that they had last week for C.J. Stroud worked. Mm-hmm. Now, Chewy, you were saying that Hafley can't do that week in and week out. You were saying that offenses will adjust to his defense, and so you expect him to have to come out with a different game plan. But again, to the point, they should try to rattle him, right? They should try to get to him and make it so that it's tougher for him to move the ball.
Yeah, Hafley's going to feel him out first. He's going to try to get pressure with force, see how that works. It's probably not going to work because it hasn't all season long. And then he'll go to his deck of cards and see what tricks he could pull up. But like I said yesterday, Jacksonville will be prepared because they did show some things they haven't done all season long defensively. And like I said, they will be prepared.
Is it imperative, Chew, for Josh Jacobs to run the ball more than he did last week against the Texans? Is it imperative for him to be a bigger part of the offensive game plan?
Yeah, I think that's what LaFleur was alluding to when he said, I didn't call the greatest of games. I think he could have rode Josh Jacobs a little more, and I anticipate that this weekend. This is just, you know, you kind of take the mindset of like, hey, let's just get out of here with a win. Let's get out of here healthy. Let's get out of here with a win. Running the ball means you control the time of possession, pick our spots, play action, get on the plane, and go home. I don't care how ugly it is. Okay, he's not going to tell this to the team, but certainly to the other coaches. He's like, he's going to be like, all right, stay on top of your guys this week. I don't want any complacency, and let's just get the hell out of fly in and fly out with a win. I don't care what it looks like, but we have to win this game.
Let's put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll this morning. I'm seeing a blowout win for the Green Bay Packers. Chewy is seeing a close game. Do you think they win the game, Chew, and it's close? Or
yeah.
Do you think they, and Gabe, you are saying a? What does your gut tell you today on Wednesday?
27-17. Like one of those games where, I'm kind of where, Jacksonville's hanging around. You don't quite put them away. You know, like Jacksonville's got the ball with like 8 minutes left. They start moving. They're down 10. Maybe that's when you make a big play and kind of finally put it away.
Just out of curiosity, what is the line right now in this game, Gabe?
ESPN Bet has it for 4.5.
And it's a 50 total.
50?
Yeah, big one.
That's because the Packers keep putting up points.
Uh-huh.
Do they?
I mean, what do you mean, do they?
22 points, that's a lot.
That's fair.
Well, it's 4.
They gave up 22. But still, yeah.
I mean, that's not a lot.
24-22 is a high-scoring game. 46 points.
I like mine more towards the 29s, 30s. That's not a high-scoring game. 24 points?
They scored 30 against the Titans, 29 against the Vikings, 24 against the Rams, 34 against the Cardinals, 24 against the Texans. So, I mean, you got over,
what are
you
they
got over 30, what's... over 30, and 29.
26.6, Chew. They are seventh in the league in points per game.
That's high.
I would say half a click above high.
Below high, you think?
Half a kick. Hold on, let me think about this.
You're arguing that it's low.
It is low.
26.6 per game? That's pretty,
all right,
that's pretty
give me,
good.
Give me the average. Give me the average of the NFL. Give me the average of the NFL.
Well, you just said that they're seventh in the league, so yeah. Give him a minute. He'll run down to 15, and he'll tell you where that is.
Yeah.
It just doesn't feel high, does it?
So
scoring's down. We've talked about this.
Yeah, so the Falcons are 15th at 23.6. The Steelers are 16th at 23.3.
Okay.
Reaction rolling in on the ESPN Milwaukee talk and text line. Alan says, I think it will be a close, ugly game. So he is more on the Chewy side of this. And Mike from Racine says, 34-10, go Pack, go. Jair will make sure that the young rookie wide receiver does nothing. Jacksonville will struggle to get the ball to Tank. Watch out. Overall, Pack will win. So he is more on my side, blowout victory. We're putting it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll. How do you think this game will shake out? I am saying big win for the Green Bay Packers. I just don't think the Jaguars have anything going for them except that it's a must win and Doug Peterson will likely lose his job with another loss.
I think I pretty much nailed every game.
What?
In your mind?
For the most part.
In your
mind,
you have.
I nailed the Eagles game. I nailed the Colts. Didn't nail the Titans.
That's because you give yourself so much cushion.
Yeah, that's why I said
in
his mind.
I nailed the Rams. I nailed the Cardinals. And I nailed the Texans. I'm on a roll. I'm on a roll.
Whatever you got to tell yourself, buddy. 800-990-3776. How do you think this game will shake out this weekend? We have given you reasons for our various positions. Let us know what you think on our ESPN Milwaukee talk and text line and on the YouTube stream. Guys, I want to talk to you about something important, and that is your home and your future. Great Midwest Bank prioritizes your dream, ensuring that the mortgage process is smooth and stress-free. There's a lot of stressors in the home buying process, but your mortgage should not be one of them. If you apply for a home mortgage loan at Great Midwest Bank, you will experience a state of banquility, finding out how easy the process is. Just visit greatmidwestbank.com to see what products GMB has for you. That's greatmidwestbank.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
What operating system does a Chewy computer run on?
I believe it's a Cat 14.
It's a COS. It's a Chewy operating system.
I was thinking Windows 98.
Yeah, very similar.
It's dial-up. Let me get my modem.
Chewy. On 94.5 ESPN.
For your next night out, make Aria the acclaimed restaurant inside St. Kate the Arts Hotel your dinner destination. Aria is nestled on the second floor of St. Kate. It's an artful dining experience that captivates with culinary creativity, delighting in its offering of artisanal American cuisine. Every bite, guys, is a work of culinary artistry. Learn more and make reservations at Aria at stkate.com. All right, I was asking Gabe this morning, what is this like? And he said, this is an ex-girlfriend stealing your Christmas tradition. That's what this is. He says, you're dating? Tell the story, Gabe. You're dating?
Well, you're dating. You know, she comes over for Christmas. You have, you know, something that your family likes to do every year. And next thing you know, you're not together the following Christmas. And you see she's doing the same thing.
Shows up on Instagram.
Yep.
She's doing the same tradition that you're doing at your family's tradition.
Pops up and...
Wrong.
What's your problem over
wrong.
There?
Wrong.
Wrong as wrong. Far as the metaphor goes, or wrong in that, yes, that is in fact wrong. You should not do that.
just because you invent the chair doesn't mean no one else can make a chair.
It depends.
No.
Yeah, if you got a patent on it, nobody else can make a chair.
No.
Is it a one-of-a-kind, loved-by-many chair?
It's a chair.
Come up with your own damn celebration. How about that?
They have a different name for it. I don't have a problem with it.
It's the exact same thing with a different name. This is like, it's not McDonald's, it's McDowell's. They've got the golden
yes.
arches. We've got the golden arc. Wait, arch? Arch, whatever it is. A Coming to America reference there.
But the name was pretty clever, I think.
The name was awful.
Okay, sucks. So here's what's happening. Minnesota Vikings have stolen the Lambeau Leap, and they are doing it now at U.S. Bank, and they are calling it the Bank Vault.
What's wrong with that? Who invented the spike? Now no one else can spike the ball? I mean, what the hell are we doing here?
Well, no, but I mean, there's something that's very specific. I mean, for 30 years, it's been very specific to one franchise, Chew. You think you would want to be protective of the thing that, while you never did it, like, your teammate invented it. So many of your other teammates did it. It's a tradition and something that is very...
and they have a name for it, which no one else could ever use, and Robert Brooks owns the right to it. No one ever can call without talking to Robert.
Well, yeah,
Robert
but,
is I mean, the end-all be-all.
You're not going to call it the Lambeau Leap
in
Minnesota.
Yeah, you're right, Chew. It's not the same thing. They're not calling it the Lambeau Leap. They're calling it the Bank Vault.
What
so
happens?
All is forgiven, I suppose.
What happens if U.S. Bank decides, we're not going to sponsor the stadium anymore? Like, you can't even do it like...
That's a good point.
You know, like, it's tied to a sponsor. It's... No, I mean, you're stealing something from your rival, which is something that Minnesota's done for years, just, you know, trying to, you know, steal things and incorporate it into their own.
How would they feel if at Lambeau Field they started doing the horn thing? Like, that's their thing, right? You don't just steal traditions. I will say this, there's another layer to this. Going back to Gabe's story about the ex-girlfriend who steals your family's tradition and starts doing it with her new friends and family and whatnot, Aaron Jones started it. Aaron Jones took the Lambeau Leap and brought it to Minnesota and renamed it the Bank Vault.
Like, it's just so bad.
You should be embarrassed to do something like this,
just so
to be quite
bad.
Frank.
So
you're making
a fool
of
yourself. Would you be upset if you went to a game in, what's the bank? PNC?
U.S.
M&T.
U.S.
Chase.
If you went in there and they started playing.
None of these people are paying
closing
money.
Time, one last call for alcohol. Do they still play that in the stadium?
I haven't heard that in a long time.
At Lambeau?
Please tell me they don't. Yes.
What if they started playing Bang on the Drum?
Like,
these
I mean,
are
the
all Bengals already stolen that.
Yeah. See, that's ridiculous. You can't be stealing.
Come up with your own bad song.
I think you're pretty safe. I think you're pretty safe there.
Well, let's take it another step further. Obviously, the Badgers have jump around. It's a big tradition. Mm-hmm. We did the feature on it. It's been around for a very long time. Yeah. What do you think about teams playing jump around between the third and fourth quarter at other stadiums?
No. Jen, what would you have a problem with Michigan playing jump, jump, everybody jump. You know, the
crisscross
the little,
song?
Yes. Would you have a problem with that at the start of the fourth quarter, them doing that?
But that's not what that
so
is.
It's like a knockoff?
Yes, it is. It's the exact same thing.
No, this is stealing the celebration. That's what you're doing. Yeah, sure, you put a different name to it. That'd be like if you decided to play the cover version. I don't even know if there is a cover version of Jump Around at Minnesota. The University of Minnesota and your boy PJ Fleck decide, hey, we're going to play the somebody covering Jump Around and play it.
And look, is it the worst thing in the world? No. Okay, I'm not going to sit here and act like we're going to start a war over this.
I mean, I'll be right next to you.
Bad look. I don't love that, and I really don't love that it was Aaron Jones. Like, I think there are some spite, but I think there are some things that are sacred, and taking a tradition, taking a beloved tradition from your previous team and adopting it with your new team, to me feels bush. Like, am I wrong, Joshy?
Be more creative. Yeah. Come up with something better.
It's just, like, undeniably corny. Like, do your own thing.
I didn't realize a player jumping into the stands was such a great invention. Holy
they
how did you think of that?
They have a statue of it outside the stadium.
It's been grandfathered in specifically because of the Lambeau Leap in terms of celebrations.
What's the name of that statue?
Or the Lambeau Leap.
I don't know if it can be, though.
I mean, if Robert got paid for it,
is there
it,
a plaque
be.
That says Lambeau Leap?
I gotta Google it and find a picture of it for now. I've seen it before. I've been there.
I don't think there's even like it's not that big of a it's just lame. You're being lame. Do your own thing. Like you left the Packers and now you're going to name it the Bank Vault. It's like clever play on words, Aaron. You're a genius. Like it's just do your own thing.
Let me bring this back to the college space, guys, because recognizing how impactful and beloved the jump around tradition is at Camp Randall, a lot of teams have tried to identify a song to play between the third and fourth quarter. I'm not saying that the Badgers invented the tradition, but because it is so well known, it started to gain traction in other places. I believe Michigan is doing Mr. Brightside now. So like again, everybody's trying to find a song.
Doesn't Florida have?
All right.
And Oklahoma just started doing the Toby Keith one, yeah. Brought to you courtesy of the Red, White, and Blue. It's not an exact knockoff, but it is taking this tradition of playing a seminal song between those quarters, Chew, and getting your fan base riled up.
Okay, hold on. Let me ask you a question here because I've been in this stadium and they've played this song. Do the Brewers still play Sweet Caroline?
Not on any sort of regular basis.
But they have played it, right?
Well, yes.
Just
but
answer the question and stop.
Yes, stadiums. Turns out there is a very small list of songs that stadiums traditionally play. Did the Brewers play it at the, in the middle of the eighth? No, they have never played it in the middle of the eighth like the tradition of the Boston Red Sox. No. So it is very different. If you play that song in the third inning during karaoke, because everybody happens to know the song, versus getting your team ready for a rally in the bottom of the eighth the way they do in Boston, that's completely different from this.
I'm all about consistency, okay?
Yes, we've established that. You're the most consistent person.
I am all about consistency.
Yes.
And you're not being consistent.
I'm just surprised I'm surprised that you're so open to this. I'm surprised you're so it's fine.
That's because we're
if they
one
called
way.
It the Viking leap, if they called it the Viking leap, then I would have or the bank leap, then I would have a problem.
The name's the worst part.
Yeah, you think
it's corny.
I actually like the vault part.
No,
I'm sorry. I like the play on words. You're vaulting into the stands. A bank vault, obviously, like a safe. I kind of like that.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah, I want to make sure everybody's on the same page. You never know. Things go over people's heads, Joshy. Like, gas gauges.
I was going to say,
all right,
empty gas
I got another
gauges.
Question for you. Do you guys have a problem with Nebraska wearing the Cornhusker hat? Which is eerily similar to the Cheesehead. Do you have a problem there?
No, because that's again, it's similar, but it's different. They took it and they made it their own.
It's also college versus NFL.
Yeah.
It's not a rival. It's not a team that you're going to see on Sunday. They're hanging out
consistent.
Out there.
I'm sorry.
You're not consistent. I just told you the
lack
reasons why it doesn't bother me. It's
you just
college
don't like
versus the,
reasons. The
NFL. They're not in the same league. 800-990-3776.
They stole your car and gave it a crappy coat of paint.
Why are you chuckling?
Because you guys are knuckleheads. Really.
We're knuckleheads?
Okay. Well, I mean, Jen, yes, but me?
Only in that one area.
You're just being a contrarian.
Just so you know, Chew, if we put on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll, who is the most knuckleheady? Even though I just used the word knuckleheady, you're still getting more votes than me, big
on the
guy.
Show? Oh, I'm running away with
that. It's, yes. It's not even going to be
so
close.
So you calling us knuckleheads, that's a certain kind of irony there is what that is. 800-990-3776. Hunter says, y'all might be taking this a little too seriously. You think?
I'm willing to fight and die for this, Hunter.
Yeah. Imitation is the greatest form of flattery. That from Todd. So we're supposed to be flattered?
No, you can't just steal something.
Again. What else is new? Minnesota stole the Skol chant. It was introduced in 2016. I thought that it was theirs.
You know what I also find corny? Is the pierogi races and the president races. Do your own damn thing.
Great point. Excellent point.
Find your own thing.
Stole the freeze?
Like the freeze? Yeah, the freeze was their own
awesome.
Thing.
The stealing something and just trying to repurpose it as your own, that's corny. It's boring. It's annoying. Do your own thing.
Here we go. Another one. Gabe, you got your list?
Sure.
Wisconsin arrogance.
Okay. Wisconsin arrogance.
Did we put gas tank arrogance
Wisconsin
on there?
I don't know if you're arrogant, though, is the problem. It's more gas tank ignorance.
I think I have more gas.
Yeah, I was about to say, it's gas tank ignorance than arrogance.
Look, fish started here. No one else should be allowed to eat fish, especially fried.
Good luck
what are you
proving
doing?
That fish started here. The species, not the band.
I'll tell you what, man. This list is extensive in terms of arrogance.
Should we go over it when we get back?
I mean, yeah, it might take the entire segment.
Can I add an ignorance to that?
Well, are we starting ignorance or arrogance?
Hold on. Does it have to do with me?
Yes. Well, consistency, arrogance.
Consistency, arrogance. All right, it's been added.
Let's talk about something important, guys. Taking care of your health and appearance. It is not just about looking good. It's about feeling strong and confident and ready to take on the world. At Quintessa Aesthetic Center, they make it easy to do. With experts in advanced skincare, body contouring, and anti-aging treatments, Quintessa is here to help you stay sharp and at your best. Trust me, guys, when you look good, you feel even better. So why wait? Visit myquintessa.com to take the first step towards a more confident you.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
You got to have a condiment with the bread.
Yeah, you want some sort of alone. Yeah, you want some sort of lubricant with the bread. Yes, that's correct.
Yes.
It's just necessary.
You follow?
Like, you don't just be sitting there eating like pieces of white bread with nothing on it.
Can't be going dry.
Yeah, can't be raw dog and just white bread.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Still cruising along with National Pizza Month, so that means you should be loading up your freezer with Palermo's Pizza. And the great thing about Palermo's is they're going to have a slice of pizza that fits whatever you're looking for. Palermo's Urban Pie, Connie's Surfer Boy Pizza, Screamin' Sicilian, just to name a few of the brands that they have under that Palermo's umbrella. They've been doing this in Wisconsin for over 60 years, so they know a thing or two when it comes to premium frozen pizza. So make sure you find them in your grocer's frozen food aisle and enjoy National Pizza Month with Palermo's. Flavor is our family's business.
Totally, fully willing to say that I'm a hater. On this particular thing, I am fine being a hater. So you probably saw last night, it happened late. So maybe you saw it this morning, that LeBron James and Bronny James shared the floor for the first time in a regular season NBA game, the first father-son duo to play together in the NBA. I don't have the box score in front of me. I took a glance at it this morning. I think I saw Bronny played 3 minutes. Does that sound about
that
right?
That is correct.
Do you have the box score in front of you, Gabe?
I can pull it up.
Okay. So he played 3 minutes, but yes, they did share the floor. And a lot of people were saying like, oh, I'm here for this. This is incredible. This is fantastic. This is amazing. Bronny James should not be in the league, guys. That detail alone makes it less amazing, incredible, wonderful. All of the things that people are celebrating. Like, if you put him on the team just because his dad is on the team, doesn't that take away, Chew, from the significance of it or the specialness of it?
Absolutely. And I'm sure the players would never say it, but they probably feel the same way because he's taking playing time away from someone who deserves to be there. I think it's ridiculous. I could care less. I won't watch a game. I'm still amazed that LeBron has that much power at, how old is he now? 40-something years old?
Mm-hmm.
It's just, yeah, great.
I mean, I guess it doesn't bother me. This played out basically the exact same way that I thought it would. Opening night, he gets about 3 minutes to play. Now he's going to go develop in for their G League team.
What I don't like is it's like a Make-A-Wish program. It was a photo op simply for LeBron. It has no meaning. He's not there on merit, so they're just serving this billionaire so he can get his pictures in 3 minutes and two missed shots from his son. Like, what is there to root for here? He just leveraged his power and his ability to get his kid on a team that he doesn't deserve to be on. Like, what is inspiring about it that he's lasted that long? Yeah, his longevity is impressive. LeBron is great at it, but his kid, there's dozens of dozens of guys who deserve to be in the NBA over him.
Let me ask you this, though, and it's all about consistency, and we're going to see if you guys are consistent. Any idea where I'm going?
Thanasis.
Never, ever. 0% of the time.
Gabe nailed it. Is he an NBA player? Does he deserve to be on the Bucks? They say the best way to trade for LeBron is to get Thanasis on board as well.
To trade for Giannis, yes. The easiest way, but... Yes, they're saying that a path to getting Giannis to another team would be to sign his brother, Thanasis.
Yeah, which is why the Lakers, back when Giannis signed his first Supermax and Alex, his brother, was on that championship team of 2020 for the Lakers, the reason why he was there is because they were hoping, oh, if we sign Alex, and Giannis actually becomes a free agent, we can entice Giannis with his brother.
But, Chu, you're the only one of us, though, who has can speak to this from a professional athlete standpoint. You played in the NFL. You won a Super Bowl. Your boys both played football at the collegiate level, did not play in the NFL. If you had been given the opportunity to grease the wheels, to get them in the league, would you have done so for the opportunity for you guys to play together?
If they weren't good enough?
Correct.
No. No, that's ridiculous. I had a brother who was my size. He wasn't as athletic as I was, and he had no desire to play in the NFL. And I had one boy who, I didn't learn this till after the fact, but didn't like football. And I had no idea. And I wasn't one of those parents that said, you're playing football regardless, because I played football. I let them do whatever they want. But it was clear that they didn't have my athletic ability. I thought they might have had it to play in college. And my oldest, and I told him, my oldest was out of position. And I told him that, and, you know, as an 18, 19-year-old kid.
I mean, what do you know? You're just a dad.
He wanted to play tight end, obviously, to compete with me, where I told him, Dylan, you're more of a left tackle. Just from the standpoint, I'm like, you just don't move as well. You know, he may have had a chance there, maybe not, but they don't regret it. No, I don't think I'd ever do that.
I think that it would be hanging over my head the whole time. It would hang over my head. I think I have a lot of self-awareness, except for when it comes to the gas. I know you guys are going to throw that out there. Thank you. But it would hang over my head if I put my son in a position with my connections and my relationships, and he wasn't good enough to actually be there.
Well, but if you open the door, it's up now. So LeBron opened the door. It's now up to Bronny for him to stay there.
But again, what did he average at USC?
That
3 points a game.
That I mean, there's tons of guys that are in the NBA that average 3 points a game in college.
Yeah, are they bigger than Bronny is? Do they have athleticism?
Some might be. Some might not be.
All of them.
Bronny's somebody that athletically might be able to hang in the NBA. Needs more developing, and we'll see what he does in the G League.
But the NBA is not a developmental league. So you just mentioned the G League. So yes, he could go down there and he could. But again, at this point, they drafted him. He was not a guy that they just picked up off the street who wasn't drafted. They drafted him, ensuring a payday, ensuring, you know, the moment that we saw last night on the floor.
I guess I'm just not bothered by it because, like, professional sports isn't a meritocracy, no matter how much we actually want to believe it. And Tausch says it all the time. First-round picks have to show that they deserve, that they don't deserve to be in the league. And seventh-round picks have to earn it each and every step of the way. Look at coaching staffs. It's all over the place, man.
But
it's littered with names that you recognize because their dad coached. So I guess I don't have a problem that LeBron, one of the greatest players in NBA history, was able to pull some strings to get his kid on a team. Yeah, do I think that Bronny James is going to play 82 games? I don't.
Let's go one step further. Do you think when it's all said and done, Bronny James, without his dad greasing the wheels, without like forcing certain minutes or anything like that, will be a contributor for the Lakers in the next 5 years?
Probably not. But, I mean, there's so many guys in the G League that, you know, maybe they get that opportunity, maybe they don't. And maybe they get the opportunity because they happen to know a coach that they played with in college who knows a coach,
Gabe,
at this level. That's the way professional sports work, Chu. That's just the way it is.
But what if you were playing at Platteville?
Yeah.
And you were a hell of a player, and the coach's son is on the team, and he played him when he has no business playing. You wouldn't be upset with that? Come on.
Yeah, I would be. But again, like, Bronny played 3 minutes in opening game. He's not going to be logging 25 minutes. He's not actually going to be taking any real meaningful playing time away from anybody else, the way that Thanasis didn't really take away any real meaningful playing time from anybody else.
But doesn't that make it worse? Doesn't that make it worse that you trot him out there for some moment for LeBron so he can be the first ever? Yeah, so he can be the first ever to have played with his kid. It's like,
it's an absolute contrivance.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to say it's not contrived, but I guess there's a lot of things that are, and I guess I'm just numb to it and just don't care enough about it.
I just think it's way different than the way you're attributing it to first and like first round picks having to prove it. Like, they got drafted on something. Somebody believed in them. The only person who believes in Bronny is his dad, so
he
can be out there.
And he has so much power and influence in the NBA to say nothing of in within the Lakers organization, that he was able to make this happen.
I also can't believe, as somebody, as an adult that Bronny now is, isn't embarrassed by this, like, this show that got put on. Like, he knows he's not as good as those other people.
Now he's got an opportunity, and he's going to have the opportunity to work. I mean, again, parents open doors for their kids all the bleeping time, man. Yeah. Now it's up to Bronny to stay there. I guess I don't have an issue with it. Because if he was in the starting lineup last night and was playing 30-some minutes and it's obvious that he shouldn't be there, sure. But if this is what it takes to make LeBron happy, cool, man. Good for you. I'm moving on.
He'll never be happy. Come on. He'll find something new.
I don't know. I look at it from the standpoint of, you know, someone had to be put down to the G League or get cut because this guy has no business being on the team.
It was an unfortunate pause there, buddy, after put down. Just so you know. Josh and I looked at each other going, old Yeller? What's happening here?
Now, I want to be on the record. If somebody was put down because Bronny had to be, I am anti, yes, I am, I want to, I want to make it sure that I am on the record. I am anti that. If somebody had to be put down in order for Bronny to be on the Lakers roster. I don't want that happening.
We are, on the record, anti-murder. Just to be clear.
Just in case there's any questions out there, unequivocally, we're anti-murder.
Good stuff, guys. I appreciate that. Accutrans is a veteran-owned business dedicated to providing unmatched corporate, personal, and event-related transportation that you will use again and again. When I have to go to O'Hare or back from O'Hare, there is only one team that I rely on for all of my transportation needs, and that is Accutrans, because they cater to every occasion. Booking is easy, safe, and dependable. Just visit their website, AccutransGroup.com. There you can get a quote. You can book a reservation. It is easy as can be. That's AccutransGroup.com for reliable, safe transportation like I use on my way to and from the airport.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Where else can you get football analysis that includes things like dropsies and pixies and intercepsies and flowy? It's flowy. Flowy. The offense needs to be more flowy.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Here we go.
You've probably heard about employee stock ownership plans before, but what separates Fifth Third Bank from others when it comes to these plans? A succession plan that benefits business owners and employees. From full and partial sales, second stage transactions, repurchase obligation financing, and seller note refinancing, ESOPs can offer tax advantages, increased liquidity, employee incentives, and overall diversification of net worth to help your company plan for the future. Fifth Third Bank National Association, custom solutions built around your goals. Member FDIC.
Gabe, give me that list. Arrogance. It's not ignorance, which we are connecting to my gas issues. Ignorance.
So the arrogance list that we have accomplished, or compiled, I should say, and this all starting from Chewy saying there's too many arrogances in the world, so we just continue to add it to the list. Mustard, computer technology, city, youth, job, vocabulary, medical acronym dog, avatar restaurant food truck, NBA head coach reading, Jared Goff arrogance, height, algorithm, spelling, barbecue, principal, semicolon, soup, Wisconsin consistency.
This list has gotten out of control. We have list arrogance, Chew.
I think it's pretty good.
I think my favorite is Jared Goff in the middle of it.
Semicolon, yeah, arrogance.
Oh, my God. Semicolon. That was a big, yeah. I don't know if you were there that day. Semicolon arrogance when Chewy got all fired up about punctuation one day.
We put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll this morning. Is the game on Sunday against the Jaguars a trap game? 66% of people are saying yes, it is a trap game. And then we asked you, how do you think the Packers-Jaguars game will go this weekend? Packers win big, Packers win a close one, Packers lose on the road. This one's 50-50 right now, guys. 50-50 win big, 50-50 win close game, but most people believe the Packers will in fact win. Ditch the random channel surfing with your remote. Grab your phone and open the ESPN app. Their new where to watch feature is a game changer. So many games going on, the ESPN app is your answer for what channel, what app, or what stream to get to. If you want to know where the Bucks are tipping off Thursday night, boom, I believe they are tipping off tonight, actually. ESPN app, need the channel for green and gold games? You already know where that is. The where to watch tab is where you need to go so you can find all of your favorite games. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy is done. Will D and Tasha's next on ESPN Milwaukee.
Well, now that we don't have any accidents up on the board, we do still have some delays. Southbound 43 slowing down from about Silver Spring to Capitol Drive. Eastbound 94 slowing down from before 92nd Street all the way through the stadium interchange, with the westbound side slowing at 25th Street to Mitchell Boulevard. Also delays along southbound 894 slowing from Beloit Road down through the Hale interchange onto 894 eastbound. Does not really let up till you get